Major with a seventh. We call that chord a major triad with a seventh. You see that? That's a major triad?
Right.
With a seventh over here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So we call that a major seventh chord. This is a minor triad with a major seventh, so we call it a minor major seventh. Yeah. Any problem with that?
I'm not.
The forms? Is that what's screwing
up? Yeah, the forms are a little screwing up.
Let's do it over here. 1, 3, 5. So this chord we're going to call diminished major 7. Now here's another one that you used real good logic on. You called it E minor 6 flat 5. It is E minor 6 flat 5. It's also called two other things. One is the real traditional one, which is the diminished. I don't know if you call it as E, huh? Or you were assuming
I call them E just as a reference point.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Just so that I'd have a name over the ones that were just major chords.
Okay. The traditional name on this is E diminished 7.
Okay.
Probably in the future, it won't be unlikely to see it called E diminished 6. That's what some would say the world's going to convert over. It's a diminished triad, again, 1, flat 3, flat 5, with a 6, which is the same as a double flat 7. In the old days, because of certain spelling irregularities, this note was, in fact, a double flat 7. It's like if you were in the key of G sharp, the 7th flat is F sharp, and the double flat 7 is F natural. We'll go back to some old stuff that we really need to get into. Suffice to say that the 6th is the same as a double flat 7.
Okay. Diminished.
Therefore, this chord could be called an E diminished 6th. Or an E diminished 7, where it's understood in that chord it's a double flat 7. But surprisingly enough, is what you called it too, a minor 6 flat 5.
What happens to the flatted third, though?
What do you mean what happens to it?
And the flatted fifth. I mean, I don't see how that appears in the E diminished 7th.
By nature, when you say diminished, you could be talking about the diminished triad or the diminished 7th.
Oh.
That's the problem with that term, why it's so darn confusing.
What would a diminished triad be? Consist of the root?
And the flat third. That's what I said before over here.
And the flat fifth.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
The diminished seventh note itself by itself is the double flat 7. So when you see a diminished 7 chord, assume that that word diminished applies retroactively backwards to the triad and to the seventh coming up. It means both things.
Okay.
That's weird.
Yeah.
It's the only term I know of in music that works like that.
Or in this case, it would
apply to the triad only for the diminished 6. That's an E diminished triad with an added 6. That's the other way of looking at this business here.
Okay.
Someday I think they're going to call it that, diminished 6. It's the cleanest, fastest way.
Okay, and the first chord that we were referring to before, that was...
This diminished major 7.
This one here, right, okay.
Which is much more rare. It isn't standard in this yet, so...
Okay.
But I think that it works sensibly as that. Because we have the minor major 7, like we were demonstrating, we have those other ones that are so similar. So, anyway, this is a job well done. You've written good names in on these. That's a question of just learning these critters, huh?
Yes.
Which means it's somewhat of a tedious thing, but it's not so bad. I just get your ear together and just listen to these chords. And
that's not bad.
So you have done this kind of thing where you
sat and played. Well, not like that.
Why don't we fast?
Yeah. I have, yeah. Again, I didn't get to that as much this time, and I realized, remember the last time you said that was the most important thing, really, to hear those and work with those even more than the intervals.
Yeah. And what about this progression?
This I didn't get to at all.
So that's just sitting waiting.
That's just sitting right there. I don't know. It's like I played every day, but I didn't get to that. So,
well, if you add an extra, say, half hour, and even if you have to do it in a second bout with the beast here, you know, I mean, you'll play for an hour and a half, come back later in the day and say, now it's time to work on some progression. I didn't get to that.
Yeah. I need to sit down and just, turn the phone off.
Show me what you did do with the scales.
I practiced them like this.
Starting from about there.
Should I take it from the beginning?
No, take it right from there. I take it back. It's starting from this note, from the third finger there. No, from third finger. Right there. That's right.
Okay.
Keep going.
So you're saying don't let that
finger. Oh, no. Go ahead. Just play. See how you're in the bind now to get to the next starting note?
Mm-hmm.
You got to hop your pinky. Right,
okay.
But you don't want to do that. You want to set up the last note, right, so you can roll.
Okay.
Get the second finger off the back. All right, start with the third finger. No, I'll start with the third finger. Second finger coming down.
With that finger, right?
Well, of course you do, yeah. So, I shouldn't say of course you do. Sure, this is, yeah. That's the move, right? Let's do that again from the third finger on the five. Rolling action, lapping, pivoting action is essential.
It's
very smooth.
Okay. Right, in terms of this.
Okay. Right. So, the general rule is when you have notes on adjacent strings on the same fret, either with any finger, it doesn't matter which finger, not with the four, you're going to roll and pivot instead of hop a finger. When you hear blues licks, like these little things here, they're not going to be hopping a finger.
It's funny because I was conscious of that. I encountered that problem and knew that it wasn't sounding right. So I just saw that.
So that's happening pretty darn good. And how about
this one here?
Yeah.
That's it. Now again, I'm doing it like this.
Okay.
Whereas it's funny because in that last one I do it like this.
That is good. That's how I want to do it.
Okay. So
this one's up for grabs anyway. Thank you.
like I say, concentrate on other things, which, like the meat, for instance, you're saying it's there too to grow something good, you know?
Right. I'm just thinking about if she can get different line of patterns. Yeah, I want you to take the same line of patterns and I'll learn to shuffle them too.
I think you showed me that.
Right.
Yeah. I got the idea. I only listened to that like once, that part of the tape.
Sound less overtly like that particular exercise. What I want you to do is omit the first note.
Okay.
So instead of it sounding like those groupings, it'll sound like one. That's a different effect to the ear in terms of the way the groupings hit.
Oh, because you're starting at a different note.
That's right. So it's like the way we hear the groupings are.
So we're starting to listen up.
Yeah. That's a jazzy and nice sort of thing.
Right. Just not singing it.
So, and do that even without the jazz for two for one. Yeah, just omit the first note and you know, a lot of poem.
Altogether? Just forget both? Okay. Because
it's my like hip or something.
Okay.
So you'll keep working on that. So just try and be able to move it into any key, maybe by next time. Think about the fingerboard. You know that's D, and then you know that's G.
Right.
So I should be able to say key of B, and then just come up.
Yeah, I could probably get that now.
Yeah?
Yeah. You'd have to tell me which scale you're going
to use. Okay, well, that's good. Then. Don't worry about that.
So just begin on the second note.
But feel the time now, so you're not feeling that as wrong. Let me see a bit of foot tap, so I know what you're feeling.
So I don't want that to be on with this too.
No, no, that's going to still be on amp. You just literally leave a blank space on one. Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what you're trying to do.
What you're trying to do is play the same thing you would have played, but it's as if somebody came along, Richard Nixon came along and erased your first note off the tape.
Okay, so I'll just go, in other words, I'll just be playing three notes here.
Yeah, if you put them in. Right, but wait, let's get a time feel so I know you know where you're putting those notes, okay?
Smooth or bouncy?
Bouncy. So don't go fast on my hand, I've got to go tempo. You did it correctly, you put it in the right place. Rush. And mix a living scale, that sounds good too. But you're doing the right feel, that's what's important. You're going to straighten it out.
I get the idea.
I wanted to come back. I want to next time I'll learn about medium speed, which is about here. Nice little jazz content. Backwards, let's see. You're supposed to be doing that, so instead you're going to go. So you were going. We're leaving this note out. So it's one. Here's the starting on the note the way you were. Again, it's just a question of how the ear perceives the group. Is that what your ear is perceiving? This way you're perceiving.
So just omitting that.
Both notes. Omitting it changes the, yeah, it shifts the ear's attention on the movement. So now we're here.
See the jazz feel or the
both. But don't not do it. Don't not do the jazz feel because that's super important.
Okay.
You'll always be able to do the straight one if you can do the jazz.
Okay.
Because it's just straight is straight. The straight is just even, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just like a machine all bouncing nothing. It's the jazz thing that takes some cultivation for not just to hear it, but to feel it into your hand. Your hand might, your ears might hear it for a while, and your hand still won't keep the good time. Your hand will just want to go back to the normal stuff.
But it is kind of like a bounce.
It's a bounce, yeah.
Like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
you know, that feel right. I'm glad you did that because you just did the, including the first note. And if you heard a guy do it on stage, you would notice, you'd say, something feel, it's not your fault, it's the pattern. Something feels non-movable.
Are you saying leaving out the root? Is that what you're saying? Basically?
No, it's not because it's a root. It's the metric shifting. Again, just to stress that. The ear hears different groupings now.
So in other words, what we're doing is we're leaving off the first note, and this would be our second, like, so bah, 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 like that.
Right. So the ear hears this grouping, and then right after it's followed by, if you did it on one string, you'd see it would graphically be. See, normally you would hear those groupings on the beat. You'd hear. Tendencies to figure that the first note is one, and go, which is the same thing we're doing here. But by shifting it, it's like it's the same note groupings, but they sound different to the ear because of where they are in the beat spectrum.
Because you're starting to use one hand,
right? It's just a far out thing that exists.
Should I be counting when I do this?
Yeah, just feel it. Make sure you're starting on and
okay.
For the second note of the pattern. Right. And descending too, instead of. One try. Right, start, leave out the first note. Try to be able to play it real smooth if you want, which like this.
That's the
bow. Don't want the bounce. It's coming to, you know. This is legato. It's still bouncing, but it's very legato. Here's slightly more staccato. And here's real staccato. Slow it down, you go. And in a sense, that's how choppy I was just playing at the fast tempo.
Right.
You just don't notice it as much at the fast tempo. Oh, right. It helps drive the beat forward.
You know? Whereas if you're doing slow, it's like,
it's real overt and not music. Anyway. So just play around with your attack, hitting strong and upbeats. Okay. See, I'm exaggerating the purpose of it.
You're not hitting every upbeat, you're hitting the...
Just the first one of the grooves. But sometimes I'll hit two or more upbeat. When you hear jazz sax players playing, a lot of times they vary the dynamics, the volume of those notes. That takes a nice effect.
Oh, yeah. I've heard all the sounds that you're doing.
Okay.
So I know what you're leading to.
Okay, let me just put this shuffle thing.
So I understand the concept of it.
Okay. So we're going to review that. Now let's get into my zone.
Not for me.
We'll do it this coming time, that's all. Okay. We're going to talk about eighth note strums, and what we're going to do is talk about first those strums wherein only two out of the eight strums in a bar are actually sounded, and the rest are just that damping sound. We've done a little of this, but now we're going to hit it more thoroughly. Okay, the first thing we're going to do is the sound is only on the number one and on the end of two. If you would try that, I'll do it if you need to, but I'd like to see what you would come in with.
Anything you like.
Anything you like. Okay?
One and the end of two.
Right. So you keep the other stuff happening, but you just make the sound only on one and the end of two. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
strings. One more time. It's really good. I like that you're in dance. You're not getting a harsh sound. You're not getting a good specific sound of dance. That's excellent. Now try to move off camera. Just feel it. Okay. Now speed your time up. Let's get it right here. Will you hold the string?
No, but I'll practice with the first lesson you gave me.
A certain move.
Again, I fell back into that and didn't work on this. And I was
shuffle from around the straight line. Maybe you like that time better, so you can tell what you're trying to do there or something. What you got to do with this thing? A little more. Just a touch more. It's a vert signals to the ear of the listener that the time is exactly. Is in fact like a straight line.
Suggest a shuffle, that's why.
Yeah. Yeah, go for that. I just think it even more, and I'm not sure what the differences are, but you're in the pocket very well. yeah, I can tell you're feeling it, so other little subtle things might come out intuitively.
It will. I learned a lot when I play along with, you know, the rhythm things you put down. I worked on that last week.
Yeah.
It helps.
Okay, this time we're going to play on one and the end of three. We're going to take a different progression. First one starts B flat.
I should do that one more time.
Okay, I want you to think about a one and the end of three. Take a long time before you get to the up. It's like down and a lot of time, and then suddenly that up comes in before you think.
So it's the distance in between, but they're both the same in terms of attacking.
Maybe there's more of it, anything. Let's say they're both the side for that.
I'll hear it.
But the distance is more pronounced. It's even a little more than 2-1, I think. It's a heavy delay. Really heavy delay. Thank you.
I'm not going to worry about the string. It's all good.
Cool.
Sort of songs that I know and stuff, and I didn't really see how like I could fit in sort of a dulling the strings on 2 and 4, and you know what I mean, like a one.
Well, that's the fit the type of song, right? And some songs aren't really. It depends on which varying song in mind.
I'm not looking at it, but I'm just trying to like apply it. So what I'm saying is, the more input you give me, the more I'll be able to apply it to the user.
Okay, and then the same thing with the shuffle. I'm going to put this last thing on the table. Focus on what we put on the tape and anything prior or written for the, that seems germane, and then everything else we spoke of before, harmonically, or you know, all the material that we need to review and the accents.
Still
everything,
right? Okay. Okay. Now let's still review everything.
Okay, I'm going to try and round it out more each day, like a little bit of everything instead of content.
That's good. You're bright showing. You're going to do fine on the tape. How's it come in? Because we might have. So far, you were doing fine. We're on the subject of, as you so politely put it, and I added the word non, we're doing non-masturbatory phrasing here. Play with the Of a singer, but I find that through the years it is helpful, the more I've done this, to get myself to sing the lines, either lines that I haven't played yet and then find them on the ads, or lines that I'm playing at that moment, so to really make it so I'm hearing it, like, if you make yourself do that, you really can tell, you know, like, if you already can sing it, you have a conception, and you try to play it, you'll see if you're can really make it from that, you know, if you're catching what you intend to. Are you a singer, or do you sing
it? I also was going to mention to you that I'm interested in learning to compose and write, too, so I think anytime you can give me, like, identify with any of the forms, you know, like you want to mention, oh, that's a 1-2-6-1 or something. Do you know what I'm talking about? I said, yeah, that's the form. Anytime you can show me, like, shortcuts in that area, I'm a step ahead.
Composition form. Okay,
you can sing, too, show me that.
Can you match pitches? Let me find out. I'm going to sing this now. Oh, you sing. Okay, you can match pitches. This one? Just where I was too when I started this. You can hear what you're trying to do, but sometimes it doesn't always come out. It's, you might be not a half step or just a tiny.
It's just not
yet. You don't have to be a great singer though. All you have to just be able to roughly match the pitches, you know, reasonably close. Again, the two ways to go are to try to sing things. You can do it when nobody's around. If you just, you know, self conscious. You know, you try to hear a blues line, then you try to find it. Here. You try an octave lower. At least you'll know you're playing things that you're hearing.
Yeah.
Sometimes it won't. I mean, you're not going to be able to sing that. Those are, you know, guitar things.
Chances are you're not going to come with that in your head either.
That's what I mean. Yeah, you're not going to be hearing that, but you can get little tasty short things. If you have some blues. And say if you have the blues inside of you, that's not fair because we're white boys from civilized culture. You have to churn butter and everything. But the blues is, on the other side of that coin, the blues is really a sound more than it is a lifestyle.
Right.
Contrary to what the books say, I just don't buy it because I've heard too many rich kids who play the blues.
I know.
Just a language of music that you learn.
Well, I think it's just a matter of
born down.
Yeah, it's just a matter of hard work and listening to it.
You know about bending, wending is 3 fingers, 2 fingers, any of that, vibrato, any of
that? I do all that stuff, but I don't know if I do it right, you know, or when.
Okay. We'll ease into talking more about that. Let's jump back to this now,
okay.
So we don't lose connection. Okay, now wait. You don't want to just play the one note without letting the chord ring. I didn't mean to mislead you there. We hit the chord, and the only new sound that we strike.
Should I put this on?
I just did.
Yeah.
he's not too aggressive. Monkeys or something.
Where's the bath, bro? The major chord.
Chords are satisfying enough to certain individuals that they don't care if they're not able to rhythm. It's good that you want to have it.
I should get this more ingrained in where I know, like you could say to me, you know, change from this chord to that chord.
Well, it won't hurt, yeah. Just as something to shoot for. Rather than me, I was going to give you more material and start on the sixth string. I think we'll wait one more lesson and
let you. Okay,
yeah, because that will give you time to catch up on these. I don't want you to fall too far behind. I know how bad that can feel.
I don't really want to. It can feel bad, even though it can feel good when learning new stuff.
Yeah, it's. Let's see, one more setup here for next.